ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Fully remote, hybrid, 5 days in the office. Where does your company sit on the spectrum? It's not just a matter of choosing one for your organisation, then set and forget. It's how you structure and manage a hybrid workforce that is the make or break. So when it comes to managing a team spread across different turfs and time zones, how are you doing? And how can a proactive manager empower employees to do their best work wherever they do it?
That hybrid working remote is, I think, really easy to do from a software development perspective. In fact, we get more productivity from people working from home and working remotely. That does have a downside effect, of course, when it comes to just creativity and innovation. So you have to think of different ways to be able to connect.
What we'd really like is for all workers to be aligned with the mission and contributing to what the organization wants us to be doing. And a skilled manager can make that happen without overly directing or coercing or micromanaging people. And so I think those are the kinds of things that we need managers to be doing.
So I think it's partially understanding the work itself, but also the members of the team. That's what really contributes to this idea of building a team identity and kind of a sharedness and purpose and understanding. But in the virtual environment, it's so easy for things to go off the rails that you as a leader really need to set that clear structure for the team to operate within.
Hello. I'm Lisa Leong, and for This Working Life, the second in our two-parter about flexible work, how to manage a hybrid workforce like a champ. Brad Bell is a professor of strategic human resources at Cornell University. He's got some local knowledge too, having done a sabbatical at Melbourne Business School. Brad, how different is managing in-person teams than managing teams in a hybrid environment?
It's a great question. There's a lot of debate. I think there's some people that believe we need an entirely new way of thinking about leadership and management. I actually think that there's a lot that we can apply from kind of traditional, what we know about traditional leadership, to the kind of virtual and remote environment. For me, it's not that it's different as much as it's really leaders needing to focus on specific areas that are really going to be essential for team success and probably how they approach those areas and what they do to kind of facilitate those in their teams being somewhat different in terms of the types of activities and approaches that they adopt.
And what are the three V's?
Three V's. So the academic literature really has kind of studied, you know, remote and virtual. It's studied traditional, but this hybrid world that we're in now is somewhat unique and different from what we've experienced in the past. And so along with some of my students, we've really tried to dig into what makes hybrid unique and different. And what we've kind of landed on are three things. The first V is variety. So just the variety of different work arrangements that you can have in a team today. So you not only have those people that are, you know, in person in the office, as people that are entirely remote, but then these people that are hybrid and often different forms of hybrid. You know, they might be in the office one person 3 days a week, another four, another one, et cetera, right? So you have a lot more variety. The second is volatility. So with hybrid, it might not be clear when a particular person will be in the office, when they'll be remote, how that changes from day to day or week to week. So a lot more unpredictability in the schedule of your teammates. And lastly, the last V is volition. So the choice that people have in their arrangements. What we find is often within a team, some people can choose their arrangement and really kind of craft that to what fits for them. Others may have no choice at all. And we've found that in teams where some members have choice and some don't, that creates a lot of challenges for leaders to navigate around fairness and equity.
And how do we use these three Vs?
So what we've been doing with it, back to your questions around leadership and management, is looking at how important is leadership under different conditions. And what we've found is that leadership really matters a lot more when there's a lot of volatility and when there's a lot of different levels of choice or volition in the team, because those create real challenges for team dynamics and team performance. And so the role of leaders becomes even more essential for mitigating some of those challenges.
So it's like a diagnostic tool, and then we can look at sort of our solutions then.
That's right. I think you can kind of pinpoint just how hands-on or active might leaders need to be and really kind of working through some specific challenges or issues that these teams may face. I think if there's low levels of variety, things are pretty predictable, everybody's on the same page in terms of the amount of choice that they have, that's a much easier situation for a leader that's managing a highly volatile team, one where there's a lot of differences in volition, etc. So it kind of gives leaders, I think, a barometer for figuring out just how challenging is this hybrid environment going to be for creating a really high-performing team.
Am I hearing then that it could be slightly dangerous for people to try and replicate an in-person environment in a virtual workspace then?
I think to a degree. I think leaders need to recognize that it's different and that they probably need to focus on some things more than others. So I'll give you a good example. One thing that we've found through a lot, years and years of research is, you know, when teams are virtual, they tend to focus a lot, their interaction and communication tends to be much more focused on the task and the work at hand, much less interpersonal, much less social. That occurs naturally if we're meeting in person, we connect before the meeting, after the meeting, in the hallways, et cetera. So I think leaders in the virtual environment need to recognize that, and they need to, you know, engage in specific strategies to create the space and time to facilitate that social interaction a much more purposeful way where it might occur organically in the traditional in-person.
Interesting. And let's look at another example as well. So meetings. So are you saying as well that we really shouldn't just copy and paste all of the in-person meetings to let's just do it on remotely?
That's right. I think as a leader, you need to think about how are we going to use this time effectively? I think you need to structure the meetings a bit differently. And I've come across a lot of leaders that take the first 5 or 10 minutes of a meeting just for the team to engage and interact about non-work things. Here's what's happening in our lives, updates, you know, from a personal standpoint that helps to build that personal connection that creates that team identity. Again, not something we typically do in an in-person meeting because that happens before and after the meeting. But in the virtual environment, we need to carve out the space and time for that.
Jen Overbeck is a Professor of Management and Associate Dean of Research at Melbourne Business School. Here's what's on her checklist of what managers should be doing to harness creativity and collaboration in this virtual environment.
Be able to set clear direction so that people know what's expected of them. And if there's something about how they're expected to meet their goals, then that's articulated well. Or if it's just a matter of meeting the goals and then the how is up to them, that's established. Making sure that there's consistent communication so that people know what's happening in the organization with regard to their own jobs, what other people are doing, that coordination can happen so that if two or more people are working on different parts of the same project, that we understand how to knit those parts of the projects together. And then the climate of communication, of psychological safety, of trust building, so that people know that they can speak up about issues. If something isn't quite working, they can raise those issues and have an honest conversation about them and hope that the manager will work with them to fix it. And then helping foster self-management among employees. Like what we'd really like is for all workers to be aligned with the mission and contributing to what the organization wants us to be doing. And a skilled manager can make that happen without overly directing or coercing or micromanaging people. And so I think those are the kinds of things that we need managers to be doing.
Let's go deeper on some of these. So when we even talk about clear direction, what are some of the challenges to this posed by hybrid work for managers and setting that type of clear direction?
Interestingly, I think that setting clear direction is difficult for managers, regardless of whether the work is hybrid or face-to-face. But when you're face-to-face, I think it gives you an out because you can spot how things are happening. You can monitor people's work more carefully. And so if it's off, then you can do reactive adjustment as opposed to setting the direction in advance. Setting the direction in advance, first of all, means that the managers themselves have to be clear about what they're after and they have to understand what they want people to be doing and have some idea in their own minds about how we should get there. And then they have to be able to articulate that to people. Sometimes managers have doubts. Sometimes they're acting on instructions from above and they're not entirely clear how much they buy in or that they grasp exactly what the goals are. Other times they do have a clear idea, but they just may lack some of the communication skills to be able to articulate that. So there are lots of different reasons it can be a difficult thing to do, but we're used to falling back on seeing and adjusting in real time, in real life. And when somebody's farther away, then that requires a bigger picture view. And that's something that sometimes we just don't take the time or have the capacity to create.
And I'm intrigued by communication. What have you seen in terms of examples of the best way to communicate in hybrid environments?
Way more than you think you need to. That's the short answer. Because people tend to see their own actions as really transparent and tend to think that other people will understand where they're coming from and what they're asking of them. If we go above and beyond, so maybe we send out a daily summary of here's what I'm up to and here are the things that I think are important right now. If we simulate stand-up meetings, so you know a lot of agile companies will do a daily stand-up and they'll do that in person, literally standing up in a room and for 5 or 10 minutes, just going around and talking about the key things that folks are doing. You can simulate that in an online environment, whether it's all together in a video call or using other kinds of technology. I think multi-channel becomes really important because in hybrid work, often people are engaging in their work at different times. So at any given moment, somebody may be sitting at their computer or they may not be. And so to make sure that there are asynchronous ways for people to engage, such as chat boards, or email, of course, as well as synchronous opportunities where we're there at the same time and we can talk to each other and we can see each other, maybe hear each other, a variety of communication channels and as frequent communication as possible without, because one of the challenges, managers tend to start to overschedule people and overstructure their time because that gives them a sense of mastery over what people are doing. So you don't want to burden them. You don't want to create a workload or a mental load. You just want to make sure that the communication is ample.
There's this also this idea of the culture. And, you know, a lot of the challenges have been around how do I foster a team culture? What have you seen that works well in a hybrid environment about creating these not only collaborative but cohesive team environments?
There was a study that showed that there are different kinds of distance that come into play when we talk about remote and hybrid work. There's physical distance, the fact that we're in different locations. There's operational difference, the fact that we may be doing our work in different ways, where some people might be co-located, some people might be solo, some people might be in a great office, some in a kitchen. And then there's a third kind of distance, which the researchers called affinity. And affinity has to do with the sense of connection that we have, the sense of shared values, trust and liking, ability and readiness to depend on one another. And the researchers found that affinity was really the key to managing successful remote and hybrid collaboration. So when we talk about culture, I think thinking in terms of this affinity distance and how do we lessen the sense of distance between people in terms of affinity is a really helpful thing. You can still create these bonds and really, really meaningful relationships among people. And that's really the fabric that we can build that organization on.
Now that we've drilled down into some of the challenges of managing teams in a hybrid environment, let's hear from some managers battling it out on the front lines. This is Managing Director Peter Buckingham.
Our company is a consulting company, which means we're all about using brain power and not selling any specific items. So it means we're not locked down to any specific location. Before COVID, we have an office in Melbourne, and we have 9 people, and we had everybody in the office. We were typical in the office, unless you gave me a good reason not to be there, we would not have to worry about that. Sometimes people would say they need to go early to pick up kids, but I'd see them working a bit later, and I'd always let that flexibility happen. Then COVID came, and of course, the issue then was we did have to move pretty quickly and pick up how we were going to keep in contact. So we obviously adapted Zoom and started an automatic 9 o'clock in the morning Zoom meeting, everybody there, no excuses. When things went back to a bit more like the normal, we did morph back into a 2 days in the office, 3 days at home model. In the middle of all this, one of our staff moved to up near Casino. She is still with us, and I believe the office is out the back of her cow shed. So that works, looks good on Zoom, and we all keep in touch. She comes down to see her father about once every year, and we normally make sure we have a lunch and catch up with her. At the moment, we are 2 days a week in the office, Tuesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at home, and still even a bit flexible on that. Now, the downsides and upsides of all this is when we first went to a home model, we actually, I think, were more productive. Now, our contracts with our staff say 37 and a half hours a week. I've never been a huge enforcer of that, but you did always see people arrive at roughly 8:30 and be leaving at, you know, 4:45, 5 o'clock was all pretty comfortable. Now we've come back the other way. I'm not as comfortable that we do get full productivity. I know when I go into the office, and I'll purposely go in there some mornings and be there at 8:30 and, you know, not leave till after 5. And I'll notice now that people turn up around 9 o'clock and they're leaving by 4:30 pretty much. I don't really push it, and I've never gone to this type of lineup on your computer so we can see when you're working and when you're not. I'm not into going that far. Like, I do work on a trust basis, and I just think the trust is probably not quite as comfortable as what it was 3 or 4 years ago.
Thanks so much, Peter, for your honesty and reflections. I found it so interesting to get Peter's take on trust and the downsides and upsides of managing his hybrid team. Let's hear now from Demelza Green, a co-CEO who manages a workforce split across Brisbane, Melbourne and Sydney.
I guess distributed teams is nothing new in IT and specifically in the software development landscape. I think we're very lucky in software development because of our really refined model and practices that have daily catch-ups, events within a 2-week period that allows for reflection, refinement about how well we've been working together, breaking down the work and understanding what it is that we're working towards, and really good tools to help facilitate all of that workload. So that hybrid working, working remote is, I think, really easy to do from a software development perspective. In fact, we get more productivity from people working from home and working remotely. That does have a downside effect, of course, when it comes to is creativity and innovation. So you have to think of different ways to be able to connect. We are 1 day in the office at the moment, and the rest is still from home. Most of the times the days in the office are the more like collaborative sessions that we have, you know, in our sort of 2-week process that we have. So, you know, those workshops and collaborative meetings that need to take place generally happen on that day, because you can't, there's nothing better than being able to do that in person. There's so much nuance to seeing someone's body language or the tone of voice that they use, and not to mention the attention that somebody will give to that workshop or that meeting when it is in person. We also shout the team's lunch as well, so they do go and spend that time together. We also have monthly all of company events. So we'll do like a lunch and learn or a town hall every 3 months, which is about, you know, updates from how the company is progressing. But then of course there is the at-home days, which is the majority of people's time. Because our model has those daily catch-ups and those different events that are locked into the calendar, there's lots of frequent, you know, daily communication that's happening through video calls. You know, we always say to keep the video camera on so people can see you, to make sure it's angled in the right position so it looks like, you know, you're actually looking at people, not to be too close or too far away. And let people see your backgrounds as well, because it's more about, you know, that environment and the context of where you're working from. Something else that we use for collaboration in a remote context is VR, virtual reality. And we did do that through COVID, and we still have teams operating in VR as well. So they will do like their daily catch-ups and some of the meetings and workshops in VR. And even though, yes, it's a virtual avatar that you're talking to, it feels like you are sitting next to someone in a virtual environment. You know, you're actually looking at someone, the sound it comes from where they're placed in the room, and it actually allows for a better focus too. It's pretty obvious when someone is not focusing because they've got the headset up and their avatar's kind of like up looking around, and you know they're not focusing in on the conversation. You can't be in it for too long, of course, because you can get pretty dizzy, but it can really help feeling like you are close and connected to people.
Woo, living that hybrid life with VR headsets. Love it. Now, who else is working in VR land? Email me at thisworkinglife@abc.net.au. Please send me your avatar. I need to see it. So that's two very different takes on the problems and the possibilities of managing a hybrid workforce. So when managers have their team goals sussed and they understand the strengths of their people, how do they go about building affinity, that all-important sense of connection Jen mentioned earlier? Maybe it's time to build some hang time into the agenda.
I think we should build it into our agenda. I think it should be a part of our regular discussions. It's certainly fine to have, you know, virtual happy hours, coffee hours, water cooler time, whatever works for the team. But I think it shouldn't be something that we just do once every quarter or every 6 months or just around the holidays. It's more building it into the regular rhythm of the team than having these special events that I think a lot of people find somewhat forced and artificial and may not like at the end of the day. You know, so I think it's partially understanding the work itself, but also the members of the team. That's what really contributes to this idea of building a team identity and kind of a sharedness and purpose and understanding that is really critical in this virtual environment. Because in the in-person environment, that can happen organically. We can kind of figure that out as we go along. Kind of some people refer to it as teaming on the fly. But in the virtual environment, it's so easy for things to go off the rails that you as a leader really need to set that clear structure for the team to operate within. So for example, I really love the idea of, for any team, but particularly for virtual hybrid teams, upfront creating a team charter that really lays out, here's what we're trying to do, here's the roles that different people are going to play, here's how we're going to interact and communicate, but having that almost kind of spelled out in a very systematic way as a blueprint can be adjusted, but a blueprint that the team can utilize.
There are task strategies and then there are social strategies. And task strategies would have to do with putting people together to do work that has interdependence in it, that has some kind of connection, making sure that people understand what those connections are and how to work together and which pieces different people should be responsible for. And so, you know, when you need to work with somebody on something, we get very invested. We learn about the other person. We develop an appreciation. Sometimes we have some frustrating experiences with that person, but it's those shared experiences and the sense of shared accomplishment and the fact that we couldn't do it alone, but we had to do it together, that's really critical. And of course, because we're talking not only about fully remote work, but we're talking about hybrid work, one of the things that managers can do is to try to choreograph, when are people in the office? Is it possible that instead of saying to everybody, come in 2 days a week, but you can pick the days, maybe we say everybody will be in on Tuesday, or this half of the office will be in on Tuesday and this half on Thursday. And then at least we can get repeated exposure, repeated interactions, and we can do some things on those days that aren't just sitting at our desk and doing the work or even hoping for serendipitous conversations in the corridors, but rather we actually get people together and we talk meaningfully and we help them learn about each other as people. And this is where I think it may feel really strange to managers. This doesn't feel like managing. Managing feels like it's about work. I need to make you do your tasks. I need to make sure that, you know, you're productive. And this may seem like, what is the incentive to go to hybrid if now I have to spend all this time helping people hold hands and sing songs? Like that's not what my job is as a manager. But it actually is our job as leaders and managers to make sure that the organization is healthy. And so if anything, I think that the hybrid structure is an impetus to remind managers of things they ought to be doing anyway and things that can create more value than we realize.
Jen's thoughts on team interdependency was absolute gold, and I loved Brad's idea of creating a team charter. Now, Brad very kindly shared his charter template. Email me at thisworkinglife@abc.net.au and I'll share it with you. Thanks to Jen Overbeck, Professor of Management and Associate Dean of Research at Melbourne Business School, and Brad Bell, Professor in Strategic Human Resources at Cornell University. Thanks for listening to This Working Life with me, Lisa Leong. It was produced by Sam Wicks and mixed by Elise Simons on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. Until next time, is it worth it? Let me work it.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.